Volume 4, Number 537, Jesus and John of Zebedee. It is a clear but severe winter morning. Frost has covered with its white flowery crystals the ground and grass, and has turned some dry twigs lying on the ground into precious jewels sprinkled with little pearls. John is coming out of his grotto. He looks very pale in his dark hazel-brown garment. He must be also very cold, or he is not feeling well. I do not know. He is really ghastly pale, and he walks like one who is not well. He goes towards the stream and is undecided whether he should dip his hands into it or not. He then makes up his mind, and cupping his hands, he drinks a drop of the water, which is clear but certainly very cold. He shakes his hands and finishes drying them with the edge of his tunic. He then becomes uncertain. He looks towards the ruins where Jesus is, and towards his own cave, and goes back to it slowly. But when he arrives at the opening through which one enters, he has a kind of fit of dizziness, and he staggers. He would fall if he did not hold on to the semi-ruined wall. He rests his head on his folded arm, holding tight to the wall for a short while. Then he raises his head and looks around. He does not go into his cave. Grazing the wall and supporting himself on the protruding rugged stones devoid of plaster, he walks the few steps separating him from Jesus' stable. And when he is almost at its entrance, he throws himself on his knees and moans, "Jesus, my Lord, have mercy on me." Jesus appears at once. "John, what are you doing? What is the matter with you?"
"Oh, my Lord, I'm hungry. I've not had any food for almost 2 days. I'm hungry and cold."
He looks very wan, and his teeth are chattering. "Come, come inside," says Jesus, helping him to stand up. And John, supported by Jesus' arm, begins to weep, with his head resting on Jesus' shoulder, and he says with a sigh,
"Oh, do not punish me, Lord, if I disobeyed you."
Jesus smiles, replying, "You are already punished. You are like one who is breathing his last. Sit down here on this stone. I will now light the fire and give you something to eat." And with the tinder, Jesus lights some dry branches and makes a good fire in the rustic fireplace near the door. The smell of burning branches spreads in the poor cave with the cheerful bright flames, near which Jesus holds 2 slices of bread after forking them with a stick. When he feels that they are warm, he spreads them with the cheese left by the shepherds. And when the cheese softens and melts on the bread, Jesus holds the slices flat over the flame, just like a plate.
"Eat now, and do not weep,"
he says, smiling all the time and handing the bread to John, who is weeping silently like an exhausted boy. And he does not even stop weeping while eating the comforting food avidly. Jesus goes to the manger and comes back with some apples. He places them among the ashes already warmed by the wood burning between 2 stones used as andirons. "Are you feeling better now?" he asks, sitting near his apostle, who, still weeping, nods assent. Jesus embraces his shoulders with one arm and draws him to himself, which increases John's tears, as he is too exhausted and too upset, probably, by the fear of being reproached and by the emotion of being treated thus, to be able to do anything but weep. Jesus holds him close to himself, without saying anything while he is eating. He then says, "That is enough now. You will have the apples later. I would like to give you some wine, but I have none. The morning of the day before yesterday, I found the faggots and food outside the stable, but there was no wine, so I cannot give you any. If it were later, I could try to get some milk from the shepherds, who I saw pasturing their flock beyond the stream. But they will not bring their flocks out until the frost melts. I'm already better, Lord. Do not worry about me. And what are you worried about? As you look just like a tree whose frost is melting in the sun, says Jesus, smiling even more brightly and kissing John's forehead.
Because I am full of remorse, Lord, and yes, let me go. I must speak to you on my knees and ask you to forgive me.
Poor John, the effort greater than your capability has really weakened also your intellect. And do you think that I need your words to judge and absolve you?
Yes, you know everything I know, but I shall have no peace until I confess my sin, nay, my sins, to you. Let me go. Let me accuse my sins.
All right. Speak, if that will give you peace. And thus ends these excerpts from the poem of the man God, and may he bless you.